The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Because Jesus asked so many questions in the Bible, I thought it would be a nice series title to Jeopardy and try to look at some of the questions that he asked and see how we can answer them. We've looked at a lot of things. We've talked about what do you believe about Jesus? He asked that question in various different ways. What do you want from God? He asked that. What do you want, you know? We talked about what life was like in the kingdom of God, because he asked questions about the kingdom and gave us some information. One of my favorites is, if you hadn't listened to it, is who can be forgiven? I really like that, because it's amazing the people that he forgave, and not in a way that you would traditionally think that he did. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the language of the kingdom. It's a different language. It's not the language of the world, it's the language of the kingdom. And today we're going to wrap up the series and look at a question that Jesus asked. He said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? There's a lot of talk these days about the end times and what's going on in the end times. And so that's where I want to pick up. There we go. What about the end of time? I mean, that's been a question since the beginning. And let's look at a scripture from Luke chapter 18. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? I think a lot of us, as they did in the biblical days, you know, when is God going to make all this right and, you know, straighten out a lot of things? And he says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink to us. It nourishes our souls. It fills our every longing. It meets our every need. And as we study this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in such a way that we'd be enlightened and built up. And as we walk out of this building or turn off the radio or shut down our computers, we'll know that we've heard from the King of Glory. Father, this is our hope, our prayer, and we ask you to do this, Father. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. It wasn't much of an amen. And I hear a better amen. All right, good. This was, I prayed quietly, but I wanted you to shout loudly, all right? Makes a difference. The earth, everything you see, everything you're looking at, the universe, life as you know it, will end. It's coming to an end. You know, and you don't, it doesn't take much for people to figure that out. The heathen figured that out. You know, they know it's going to end. Something's going to end one day. The truth is that the end began at the beginning. All right? You know, I love the creation story. It's one of my favorite things to read, the first six chapters in the book of Genesis. And I love it because of what God did. I try to put God in a, and I don't put him in a box, but I try to, in my mind, try to visualize what it would be like. And you can see God saying, he said, and God said, and whatever he said came to pass. I think that's cool. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? You know, and Morris said, and it came to pass. You know, sometimes what happens is I say, and you say, and somebody says, ah, shut up, you know. But in this case, God said, and immediately after that, everything that he did, he says, and it was good. I can see, forgive me, I see God, you know, kind of a grandfatherly kind of guy with suspenders on him. And I can just see him put his thumb in his suspenders, just pop them, you know, just say, wow, that was cool, you know. I think he was happy what he did. He said it was good, you know. And so he said it, and he said it was good. And this thing about what God has said is very important. If he hadn't said it, it wouldn't be. In the New Testament, in the book of John, it says that all things, you know, that God, that the Word showed up. What God had said, the Word became flesh. What God said was reality. So it's not important what I say, but it's important what God says. That's why we study the Scriptures. We may be better off if we just read the Scriptures. In fact, that's what they did many times in the Old in the New Testament. Paul would write a letter, and the church would read it. He said, see, this letter is read in the church. And they just read it. They didn't stop for commentary. They just read it. But, you know, we kind of do it our way and try to understand it and talk about the original language he said. But, you know, it wasn't very long after God said, well, you had creation and freedom, that corruption and slavery showed up. And the first thing that the enemy did was said, has God said? And so God's word began to be questioned immediately. You know, did God say that? And over throughout the Old and New Testament, and even to this very day in news and what things you read, the big thing is, well, did God really say that? What did God say? And there's questions about it. And when you enter a question of whether or not God really meant what he said or what he really said, you begin to corrupt the word. And when the word of God gets corrupted, it's like this. If you took a crystal clear glass of zero water, you know, you see that commercial, they've got this filter, you know, zero, it's zero filter, and so it's perfectly pure according to them. I don't necessarily believe that, but that's what they say, and so it's that commercial. They can say whatever they want to say. But if you took an eyedropper and you put a few drops of a red dye in it and you drop that red dye into that clear water, you'd see it. You know, it's going to taint it. And you could never, ever get that red dye out of there. You could run it through a filter as much as you want. Maybe some scientists would know that I'm wrong about that, but just my illustration, you know, you couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, all right? You couldn't get that out. It's there. And that's what happens when you begin to corrupt the Word of God. When you start questioning about what God said, that's why it's important for us to believe it. And that's why we know that the Word, it says that the Word is pure and holy and it's correct and it's powerful and it does those things. So that when we read it, we can be sure. If there's anything in the Bible that's not true, how would you know what part? I mean, and if one part was not true, well, you'd have to assume that, well, maybe there are other parts that are not true. And what people begin to do is begin to pick and choose the parts that they like and don't like. Well, that's not true. Well, I mean, if it's in there, it's true. You may not understand it, but it's true. You know? So it's the it's that theological word that you learn if you go to the seminary. It's the inerrant word of God. I mean, it has no error whatsoever in it. So, because what God has said is always good. It always does what he sets it out to do. And it, man can corrupt it, but God, when he speaks, it's the incorruptible word of God. Well, pretty soon, as men begin to doubt the word of God and doubt what can happen, and God saw what was taking place when the slavery of sin and death entered the world, God made a promise. He said, one day, this is going to be all taken care of. That's a promise from God. And that promise is still true today. It was true in that Jesus came, but Jesus isn't finished yet because Jesus is coming again. And that's we know that's true. How do we know that's true? Because the Bible tell me so, all right? You know, it's not because some evangelist said it. It's because what God said. He said, Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. I will return. The promise was that he would come, and he did. And the promise is that he will come again, and he will. Now, we like everyone else say, yeah, when? You know, come on, you know. Now, soon, everybody's waiting for the rapture. You know, we want to jump out of here and we want his return. But we've always been looking for the end. What's going to happen? And Jesus was asked a host of questions about that. You know what Jesus' answer to the end times was? It was universal. He said it over and over again in different ways, but the same thing. He said, none of your business. None of your business. He said, I don't even know. You know, if he didn't know, what's the probability? Think about it. What's the probability that you're going to know? Anybody know what zero is? You know, it's just not going to happen. But Jesus, as he did, he interjects this question. He said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Now, why would he ask that question? Because a very high probability that he wouldn't. A lot of people don't believe today. I mean, there's just a host of people who just question and doubt whether that'll ever happen. So, will men trust them God, or will they trust in themselves? And we find most of the world trusting itself today. Will men keep the faith during hard times? Will men just walk away? Well, they walked away in Jesus' day. Every reason to believe that they'll walk away today. So what I want to address this morning is in this end time thought, Jesus said several things. And the first thing he said is to watch out for the end. Not necessarily just to watch for it, but to watch out. And why should you watch out? Here's why. Luke chapter 21, verse 8 and 9. He replied, this is Jesus speaking, watch out, talking about the end times, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. Everybody say, do not follow them.
Do not follow them.
I could probably preach the whole sermon right there on that particular thing, do not follow them, because I find that in the church, people are following them. I mean, I'm hearing it. I hear it almost virtually every day. People following them who say, I am he, and that the time is near. When you hear of wars and revolutions, Lord knows we hear about that today, don't we? Do not be frightened. A lot of people are scared. I can't tell you how many people are afraid today. What's going to happen to us? What if? These things must happen first. These things must happen. But the end will not come right away. So just when you think the end is here, forget about it. Because it's not going to happen right away. He didn't say it wasn't going to happen. It's not going to happen right away. He said the end is going to come like this, like a thief in the night. You know the most frightening thing can happen to you? Be sound asleep in bed and hear somebody breaking in your house. I had that happen to me. It was scary. I remember I got my pistol out. I told Pat to get Tiffany and get in the bedroom, lock the door. I was in a hallway with a gun. I didn't look like Tom Selleck. I looked more like the, what was that guy? Was the guy who was the deputy for Andy? Yeah, Barney Fife. I was like this. I'm glad I had a lot of bullets in that gun because I was going to need every one because I know how to hit the wall and a lot of other things. But it scared the tar out of me, I'm telling you. And we had called the police, and, you know, the police were there in probably less than 5 minutes. You know how long 5 minutes is when somebody's burglaring in your house, you got a gun and you're Barney Fife? You know, it's a long time. I mean, it's scary. Well, that's when Jesus is coming back, just like that. You're sound asleep, stacking up them Z's, enjoying a rest. And when you least expect it, that's when he's coming back. Now, the first admonition that Jesus gives us here is to watch out. Watch out so you don't get deceived. You see, what the enemy did when he came into the garden after God did everything good, his job was to deceive. And the scripture says that they were deceived. Eve was deceived. Why? Because she doubted the word of God. Now, if you're worried about the end times, you are deceived. I'm telling you, you're being deceived. You know how many stories I've heard about the end times in just a short while I've been saved since 1972? I mean, they had guys moving to the mountains, people doing this. But the latest, which I thought was the funniest one, was the Mayan calendar. It's going to end in 2012. Wow, you think if Jesus didn't know what was going to end, what chance did the Mayans have of getting it right? They didn't get it right. And like everyone who predicts the end, when it doesn't happen, they have an excuse. You know what the excuse was? We didn't know how to read the Mayan calendar. That's what they said. We didn't know how to read it. Have you ever seen the Mayan calendar? The fact that they could find any day of the week in there amazed me. I mean, I looked at it and said, duh, looks like something you'd hang on the wall and decorate. I couldn't figure it out, but maybe I'm not as smart as the Mayans. I don't know. False gods have been around since the sun god, since Mohammed, and the god of religion. I mean, there are false gods all around, and they're always predicting gloom and doom. Beloved, Christianity is not gloom and doom. It's confetti. I can see God with bowls and unlimited bowls of confetti. You're throwing love around the whole earth, and people are down in the muck and mire picking up trash from the deceiver. If you're worried about something, you're eating mud. I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing to worry about. We are children of the kingdom of God. And the enemy comes by to rob, to steal, and to destroy what God has said. You're going to walk out of here either so excited or so mad. I don't know which one you're going to be. But I hope you're excited. I hope the confetti gets you. You know, if I'd have thought about that, I'd have made this series. I'd have called it Confetti. I just love that. Dad, what a great concept that is. You might hear that again. I may give you credit, but I usually don't, so it's all right. But you'll know. Yeah, don't get your feelings hurt. Does God exist? People want to know. Is there a God? Well, no, there couldn't be a God, because if there was a God, I'd have to be responsible for what I do, and I don't want to be responsible for what I do. So I declare there is no God. I can see God up in heaven. You know the God I was talking about earlier? I can say, ha! You believe that idiot just said that? You know, I mean, that. I saw this on TV. This is not a political statement, although it could be. But Ben Carson was on TV. They had a little clip, and he was speaking at some group, and he was declaring that about life, and that all life was created by God. And so evidently somebody had a question about it, and this particular individual believed that, I don't know what that is, but it might be God speaking to us. All right. And this guy said that he believed that we came from the monkeys. And Ben Carson said, he said, you know, I believe we came from God. You believe we came from monkeys. And after hearing your argument, I believe I came from God, but I do believe you came from a monkey. Way to go, Ben. All right. I mean, the guy's a brain surgeon. He knows how to do stuff. All right. You know, what will God do? You know, there's no judgment. That's what people say. There is no judgment. Well, if you believe that, you're wrong once again, because God said there would be a judgment. Now, we know that sin was judged at the cross, and that at the end. And so don't be afraid, you know, and I don't want to preach another sermon, but don't be afraid of the great white throne judgment. You won't be there. They got a VIP room on the side, and they got a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you made your reservations in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get to go through the VIP room and don't worry about what's going on the outside of the great white throne judgment. It's got nothing to do with you. That's the judgment of the unbelievers. And they've been judged already at Calvary's tree. All right? The end times will be filled with danger. There's no question about that. So there'll be wars, and there'll be rumors of wars. There'll be fears of famine. Jesus said it'll be like the days of Noah. You know, people will be marrying and, you know, giving in marriage, and they'll be eating, and they'll be drinking. Wow, just turn around and look. I mean, you see it everywhere. If this isn't like the days of Noah and the evil that is associated with those days. I love what Rick Manis said when he was here doing the Much More conference, when he said that when God destroyed all flesh with the flood and covered up flesh, and that he put his people, the righteous Noah and his family, and he put them on the sea, and flesh was covered up, and God raised them up and put them on a mountain, let the water come down, and they stepped out, and they were on high, dry land, and they didn't have to do a thing. God did it all, and that's the way it is with believers. God does it all. You don't need to worry about it. If you're worried, you're deceived. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. Listen, what I was reading to you is what the King James people call the red writing. It's just what Jesus said, and he said it to us, that we would not be afraid. There's no place to hide. Where would a person hide? People want to go hide. They want to get in caves. They want to go to places where they're protected. They want to have guns and ammo, their food, because the end times are here, and they're worried about it. If you're worried about it, you're deceived. There's nothing to be worried about. Jesus said, don't be frightened. Don't be afraid. Well, Pastor, you're saying that we shouldn't make any provisions for the end time? No, I believe you should make some provisions for the end time. I think you ought to store up some food just in case there's a famine so you can feed people if they're hungry. All right? I think you ought to store up some clothes in case people are naked. You can give them some clothes to wear, you know? I think you ought to store up some Bibles in case people don't have a Bible and they'll want one. You can give them a Bible. I think you ought to know the Word of God well enough to lead somebody to the Lord and tell them, don't be afraid. That's what you need to do. That's what we need to be doing. Not fretting and building a little a solid concrete bunker that we can get in and be safe, because you won't be safe there. You know why? Because there's something you'll bring in the bunker that will destroy you, and it is fear. Not believing the Word of God, and you'll bring it with you. The end times are filled with anticipation of how bad things are going to be. Now, you know, I'm not out here to criticize people. I just sometimes we need to look in the mirror of the perfect Word of God and see what it says, and that's what I'm trying to bring to you. People are worried about the blood moons. Well, and I've heard the thing, you know, I've read the books, I've seen the videos and all that. You know what I think about the blood moons? I think they're cool. I mean, that's pretty neat. You don't see, I like to watch a full moon. I want to howl when I see a full moon, you know. I like it. I think it's cool. And a red one, you know, that's got to be neat. But, you know, I'm not scared because we're having a full moon. And I've listened to proponents and what they've said, you know, and they've got the calendar all figured out, and they know that on these dates and this happened and this is going to happen. And they're predicting that the end is going to come with that. And I say, baloney, because you don't know, because Jesus doesn't know. And you think you're going to look at the moon and the stars and you're going to figure it out? Give me a break. The book, The Harbinger. I love the book, The Harbinger. And what I liked about it, the guy had a lot of factual information. I checked him out. See, when I read books, I don't believe anybody. I'm the world's biggest skeptic. Am I telling the truth, Pat? I don't believe anybody. So if you say something in the book, I can guarantee you one thing about me. I'll go check you out. I took the book, The Harbinger. It was about a two-thirds story, and I put it on the side. I said, this guy has got to be loony as a tune. So I went and did all the research myself on every fact that he said existed. And you know what? He was right on his facts. Everything he said in the book, The Harbinger, is actually true. The question is his conclusions about the facts. And I question his conclusions. He may be right. I don't think so. But he, in the book, The Harbinger, he didn't do what came up later about the blood moons. I think the blood moons goes a little bit too far. It's got people worried. People are afraid. I find myself being afraid. I said, oh, my God, it's the blue moon. I mean, it's the red moon. You know, blue moon is a song and all this. But, you know, this is the red moon. I get my colors mixed up. I'm not very good with colors. Don't worry about it, beloved. It's not your job to worry about it. If anybody's going to worry about it, it's God's job to worry about it. And how many here, raise your hands, think God is worried? Wow. Those of you listening on the radio, nobody raised their hands. Put your hands back on the steering wheel if you're driving. God's not worried. He's not afraid. And he tells us, don't be afraid. Why? Because we trust in the living God. We believe in him. We believe his word. He says he'll take care of his people. In the worst situation you've ever been in, God is there. We sang that song. Where are you going to go away from God? How are you going to get away? You are not. God is with us in any and all circumstances. Historically, that's true, and it'll be true in the future, and it'll be true for all eternity. James Barron said when he was here, which is a lovely thought, and I love it, that when Jesus was on the cross, he told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. And James said, and I believe he's absolutely right, that the cry of the heart of God is that he and you and I might be together. That's it. That's what he wants. You'll be with me. I want you to be with me. God wants us to be with him. And he's made arrangements for that to happen. People are worried about ISIS. The only thing I'm worried about is my eyes sometimes. I'm getting old. I don't see as good as I did. And I'm worried about ISIS. God's bigger and better and stronger than ISIS is. That's hard to say when you got gap in your teeth like I do with ISIS is. People are worried about Iran. What if Iran gets a nuclear weapon? You don't think people have nuclear weapons today that hate us and would blow us up if they thought they could get away with it? Just look at Korea. They got it. Pakistan, they got it. There are others who hate us. You know, the only thing that keeps them from doing it is the hand of God who's protecting our nation. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in our Air Force, some trust in our Army. But I'm telling you, the reason America still exists is because the hand of God has been upon this nation like there's never been a nation like it before. Because it was far sacred halls of the kingdom of God that God hears the prayers of those who went before us. Hears the prayers of those who are left. And if God has protected us and watching over us, some say, yeah, God's about to take his hand off of America. If God takes his hand off of America, we'll be like every other nation that ever existed. We will cease to exist. But you know what? I don't know for a fact. But I'm hoping that that won't happen. You know, that we'll be okay. I'm hoping because I believe in the prayers. There's never been a place like this. Never been a place like this. You know, quoting Dr. Ben Carson again, and I'm not giving him any political kudos, but it needs to be said when a man says something that's right, you know, just go ahead and say it. He said something right. You know, they asked him about should a Muslim be president of the United States? And he said, well, if they trust in the Judeo-Christian values that we have and they follow the Constitution, that would be okay. He said, but, you know, I don't see that. And I think that's wisdom. I don't see that. It's not about what you say. It's about what you do. You need to do it. You know, and when the book that they read, which is their holy book, the Quran, and what it says, to kill all the infidels, and if, you know who the infidels are? Anybody that's not one of them. And the way I've seen, I mean, they don't even have much value for those who are one of them. You know, life is so cheap. But I'm not worried about it. You know, if Iran gets a bomb, you know, I think we have a friend. You know, we have a friend, you know, that old thing, we have a friend in Jesus. We also have a friend in Israel who has a nuclear weapon who would use it tomorrow to save their people. So, What's to worry about? People are worried about the present election. Who's going to be elected? You know what? Just so long as God's still on the throne, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. You know, we have to put up a bunch of bull, and we get discouraged about what's going on in the country and who's going to be elected, and it does have an effect on us. But you know what? I trust in God to take care of His people. Amen. You know, we're having monthly prayer meetings in our community. Some of you don't even know about it, but I'm telling you about it now. And it's we've got different churches gathering together, you know, and meeting at different churches. And we met at the Mount Olive Church here in town, and Pastor Margaret Sims is a pastor over there. And we went there Friday night, and they had maybe 30 people there, and big old church, and probably sit, I don't know, 800 something, 1,000 people. I don't know. It's pretty big. No, not that big. No, but it's evangelistically speaking. Yeah. Reality is probably 300. No, it holds about 400 or 500 people, I'm sure. But anyway, the point is, they didn't have very many people there, but it's a lot of praying going on and having a good time. I'll tell you what, maybe everybody gets frightened enough and they realize that the horses and chariots can't protect us. Maybe people will start praying. You know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, you know, then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll heal their land, forgive them. You know, so maybe there's a day of prayer coming up. I'm not gonna go there. You know, I'm not going there. I'm just encouraging you to come. And I'll let you know when the next one's going to be. It's going to be at Bethany Lutheran Church, Rod Parsons' church. Who's a friend of us, of ours. So don't be watching and worrying. All right, second thing I want to talk about. Jesus said to wait in faith for the end. Wait in faith. Wow. Luke 21, 5 through 7. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. They were looking at the temple. You know, it's pretty nice. You know, but Jesus said, "It's for what you see here, the time will come." Everybody say, "The time will come when not one stone will be left on another." That's pretty much the case, isn't it? Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they ask, when will these things happen? You can almost hear their knees knocking together. What will be the sign that they're about to take place? I'm going to go back to verse 9 again, which we just read. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. Why did he say that? Because they were frightened, all right? Don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. We're supposed to be waiting in faith. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, it says in the book of Hebrews. All right? So things will be shaken. There's a shaking going on. There's an earthquake around the world. There is a shaking. But the thing that can't be shaken is the kingdom of God. It will not be shaken. It cannot be shaken because it's not under the control of men or planets, the universe, or any other force. It's under control of God Almighty Himself. What you depend on will disappear. People depended on the temple. The temple was worshiped. The temple was everything. It was a giant monolith right in the middle of where they lived in Jerusalem. And for Jesus to say it would be torn down was unbelievable that he would say such a thing. Who could do that? Things will fall, whether they're temples or whether they're governments. I was listening to David Jeremiah this morning. He was getting dressed to come to church. If you never listened to David, I like to listen to him. He's a very smart man. And he was talking about, in the book of Daniel, about the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel was interpreting that, and about this, you know the story of this giant that had the golden head, and you know the brass, and all the way to the clay feet and that, and David Jeremiah said rightly, he was talking about governments, and they're all going. There is no Nebuchadnezzar. It's a tourist spot you can go visit if you want, But it's not there. There's no more Rome. Colosseum, you know, it's, I hate to see the Italians messed it up, but they did, since I'm one of them. But, you know, there's nothing but ruins there. Well, that's all that's left. Their power is gone. All power will fail, ultimately. You know? So if we're trusting in that, see, that's why I say don't worry so much about what's going on in the government. If you're worried about the government won't sustain you. Remember, remember FEMA? Yeah. Remember Katrina? Yeah. When all the help you needed? I mean, it took forever to get any help from anybody. If it wouldn't have been for the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ around the nation, we'd still be swimming in filth. Waiting for government things to get done. You want to get some, the worst words you can ever hear are these. I'm from the government, and we're here to help. You know things are going to go wrong. You know, just the way it is. The only thing the government does really, really well, and I'm really proud of them, when they show up with guns and ammo. You know, they know how to break things and destroy things and get rid of things that are bothering them. You know, that's what they do really, really well. Other than that, they don't do such a good job. But we're not depending on that. We're depending on the Lord our God. That's what Jesus was trying to get us to do. The question you must ask is, where is your faith? Is your faith in America? And I love this country. I'm the biggest patriot in this place. I love this country, but is your faith in America or is your faith in the God of America? In God we trust. I thought it was pretty neat. You know, it's a big deal with the Pope being in town, you know, and they showed him in the Congress speaking to the joint session of the Congress. And I was surprised they did it. But whoever was running the camera must have got saved, because he backed up the camera and then he tilted it up. And I thought it was just a prophetic word. And they honed in at the top where, right over where the Pope was speaking. It says, "In God we trust." I thought, yeah, baby. You know, yeah, baby, we're trusting in God, not in this kind of Pope. We're trusting in God. I don't know how many of you caught that, but when I saw that, I thought, wow, that is perfect. We're trusting in God. And that's the message of America, trusting in God. That's why it's important we maintain our faith in God. If we want America to succeed and still be here, we need to keep praying, adding out prayers to those who went on before us. Are you trusting in your strength and your ability? No, I mean, you're not smart enough to do something. My greatest frustration was at the end of 2012, when things didn't go the way that I thought they should go in the election, and I was frustrated and I was upset, and the Holy Spirit right here, right where I'm standing, I had a chair, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Get busy in Slidell." I thought, what about this? And you know what he told me? Now, some of you don't think God speaks to you, but God will speak to you if you listen. He said, "I'll take care of it." Because I was worried about the Supreme Court, who would get there, and if abortion would be ended, would save the baby's lives. He said, "I'll take care of it. You get busy in Slidell." And I did. In the last 2 years, and I'm not going to go through it all, but the things that have changed in Slidell is amazing. We have people coming from other cities, coming to our fair town to find out what we're doing in this community that's so right. You know, from Pearl River to Covington to Lafayette to other places, people want to know what's going on in Slidell. Well, I'll tell you what's going on in Slidell. I just don't want to go through the whole litany of it all, but things are happening in our town. The fact that some of you listen to this on the radio is just a miracle of God. I didn't have a radio station in 2012. Somebody gave it to me in 2013. God bless Marion and Cindy Collins for doing it. My first response to us getting a radio station was, "I'll pray about it." And everybody here knows what that means. What does it mean? No. It is. You know, come on, I mess up. It's true. Somebody asks you to do something, say, "Well, I'll pray about it." That means that's just the way it is. But if you pray about it, then God will change your mind. And God changed your mind, and we ended up with the radio station. And things are going good. I mean, I can't believe we're actually broadcasting live. Finally, it took forever to get it done and for us to learn enough. For Don to learn enough to make it happen, because I don't know nothing. All right? But Don's doing a wonderful job, and I appreciate it. He's not by himself. Jim helps him. You know, just he's got help from other people, but he's just the tip of the spear making it happen. So We're trusting in God. We don't trust in monuments of stone. We don't trust in walls. We want to put up walls, you know, around the border to keep people out. You know, I'm not opposed to putting up walls. If you think walls will keep people out, it won't. People tunnel under, climb over, fly over, jump over, knock the walls down. You know, they put a wall around Berlin, East Germany. Where's the wall today? It's down. The wall went down. Remember those famous words of Ronald Reagan? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You know, that's a great story. And if you don't know the inside story of that, I didn't. But he said it anyway. And when they, later when they questioned him about saying it, he said, I'm the President of the United States. I can say whatever I want to say. Said, you go, Ronnie. I mean, that's the way to do it. You know? But the wall is gone. We trust in God. We believe in God. Our strength is in the Lord. Lift up your eyes and see him in every situation. If there's a famine, God will raise up a Joseph. All right? If there's a war, God will raise up a David. And if there's evil, God has already raised up his son. We have nothing to fear, nothing to fear, nothing to be worried about. If you want to be worried about something, worry about how we're going to get more people in this church and fill it up. Before I die, I'd like to see all these chairs filled up with people. That, you know, that's something good to worry about. That was just a commercial. It had nothing to do with the sermon. All right. Finally, Jesus said, worry not about the end. Worry not about the end. Luke 21, 14 and 15. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Everybody say that. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Make up your mind now, today, that you will not worry. If you're worried about stuff, make up your mind today that you won't worry. And when you feel worry coming, know that worry is deception. And deception is of the evil one. You're being deceived. If you're worried, you're deceived. Make up your mind. And if you're having a problem, pray. Resist the devil. It's, the scripture said, resist the enemy, resist him, draw near to God, and he will flee from you. Doesn't say he walks away, says he will flee from you. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. How will you? You will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will. Wow. That's pretty powerful. Did I do that? Yeah.
But don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Okay. But you can provide for a disaster that's coming, but not to protect just yourself, but with the idea that God wants you to take care of somebody else. That's the thing that bothers me. People are worried about taking care of themselves. How much food are you going to store for yourself? And somebody comes hungry, you're going to shoot them?
No.
Oh, man, where is that in the Bible? Let's see. What, it must be chapter 1 of what book? Somebody tell me where it is where it says shoot them so you can have all the food. If your enemy shows up, give him some food.
Yes.
Give him some water. Give him some clothes. Speak well of them. See, that. Here's let me tell you the crux of what all this is about today. The crux of it is this. Are we going to live by the flesh or are we going to live by the Spirit? Are we going to walk by the flesh or are we going to walk by the Spirit? Are we going to speak by the flesh or are we going to speak by the Spirit? You need to make up your mind. You're either a born-again believer who believes and trusts in God and live in the Spirit. Those who walk after the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is the lust of the flesh, trying to take care of the flesh. This flesh won't be here. This isn't flesh, it's rubber, but this one's flesh. It's leaving. If you listen on the radio, I have a rubber arm. Don't worry about it. Come see me and I'll show it to you, all right? I mean, what you gonna do? That's what irritates me about some of the politicians. When you hear these speeches and you watch these debates, and I love it. I'm a political junkie. I love to watch it, all right? listen this way to the people and pray for the people. We're going to do things according to the spirit, not according to the flesh. Just listen. Listen with those spiritual ears that God has given you. Where was I? Man, I just carried away. I had more scripture I wanted to read. There we go. At that time, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. This is verse 27 and 28. With power and great glory. That's who I want to see coming. You know? Coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You know what? But you know, this isn't in the Bible. No, that's not in the Bible, so we can just throw it away, right? I mean, that's not true. It's right out of the Bible. And I'll put it up here for you to see it. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Didn't say to worry about the enemy, worry about the flood. Your redemption, the fulfillment of everything we've put our faith and hope in, that we've sung the songs of Zion about, that we've watched the confetti of God's love being poured around us, that's our redemption. It's drawing near. Woo! That'll make the Baptists and the Pentecostals and everybody else shout all at the same time. The end time is not a time for fear, but it's a time of rejoicing. And if you're afraid of the end times, you're looking to the flesh, you're being deceived, and you need to get out of that. In the end times, what should you be doing? I already told you. Feed the hungry if they're hungry. Clothe the naked if they ask you for something. You know, heal the sick. Pray for those who are sick. That's our job. If you haven't read it, read the book by Corrie Ten Boom called The Hiding Place. It's an old book. You can find it. You can get it on Amazon. You will. Ordeal. I can't think of a word to describe it. When the end times come, continue to be living and doing what you're doing now. And if you're sitting knowing the precious promises and you're not doing anything, maybe it's time to ask God this. Lord, if this is the end times, what would you have me do? And listen for the answer. Wait with godly anticipation. Come, Lord Jesus. What can I do while we're waiting for you to come? I've told the story before, but I didn't plan on saying it, but I just want to say it briefly. I've had times of anticipation about things, worry about things. I remember when I got out of seminary and I was really concerned about, what was going to happen to me. I spent a lot of time and energy and did everything that God asked me to do, and things weren't going the way I wanted to go. And I asked my wife about it, and she said, what do you think we ought to do? And she said, what's the last word you heard from God? And the word was, wait on God. And she said, why don't you just enjoy the wait? And I decided to do that. And you know what? It's been a ball. I keep using your illustration. It's been a confetti party. I love it. I got confetti all over me. You know, it's not that I don't have troubles and don't go through hard times. I'm telling you, I have seen the hand of God through the best and the worst times of my life. And it's been quite a party, you know. And I'm expecting more party. The party's not over. You know, just when you think you're running out of wine to drink, Jesus shows up with a new wine and brings it in, you know, fills up the vats with wine and brings it in. There's still a wedding party going on because the bridegroom hasn't come back yet to get us out of this place. But when he comes, is this the bride he wants? Oh, I'm so glad you came here. Running towards her bridegroom. And that's what the church is supposed to be doing. That's what the bride is. The bride has an anticipation, not fear, but anticipation of a wonderful, wonderful time that'll take place as she marries the bridegroom. And that's what's coming. It's the culmination of it all. It's the marriage. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb that God is preparing for us. Your answer to will I find faith? What is your answer? If you're afraid, then I have a question for you. Where's your faith? Where is it? Where? Think about it. Be afraid. If you're serving God, then I'll tell you something. There is your faith. There it is. Serving Him. Not worried about things. Not being stupid, but being a person of faith. Do what you need to do, you know. But always be thinking about what Jesus did. Jesus came as a servant. He came to serve. You have been born again, not to sit around and worry, but to serve. One of all of our favorite scriptures is in Ephesians, where it says that, that we're born again through faith. It's by faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of good works. But we're born again through faith. And the next verse says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We don't do works to curry favor with God, but it's because of who we are, we do good works. That's the question Jesus asked. When He comes back, will He find faith? When He finds you, will He find you in a bunker, scared and worried, with guns and ammo and food and clothing for yourself? Or will He find you out on the streets of the world proclaiming, Jesus is Lord. The end is near. Jesus is Lord. Your redemption draws near. That's the message that we should be proclaiming. So the next time you find yourself worried, remember, you're looking at the flesh and not looking at the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, next week we're going to do something different. We're going to have, I'm going to go back and cover some of the things that were spoken by James and Rick in the conference we had last week. And if you have any questions about anything they said, send them to me. You can call me on the phone or send me an email. It's the easiest thing. And I'll try to answer your questions. They covered a lot of ground. I'm going to try to go back and pick out the highlights for you, and we'll talk about that some next week. So that's the plan for next week. And then the week following, only God knows, because I have no clue what we're going to do, all right? But we'll find something to do. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Miss Liz.
God gave you the scriptures. Be you ready.
Be you ready, but an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. Thank you for those of you who joined us by the radio. We're going to sign off now and return to our regular broadcasting. The Lord bless you. Come back and visit us some more. Come see us at New Beginnings Church, 330 Robert Boulevard, right here in Slidell. And you can see me in the flesh with my rubber arm. It's an amazing thing to see. Thank you for tuning in.